Hey, listen up, idiots. This is your spoiler warning. Also, you might get offended, so warning for that too, you idiots.
Hello, my name is Kyle.
My name is Ryan.
And when our powers combine, we form...
Experience Grind...
Podcast. Yes,
what
sorry.
What?
I don't know. We're kind of doing it differently this time.
We are flying by the seat of our pants here.
Yes, yeah. We are in uncharted territories. We're recording on new equipment.
Man, today would be the perfect day to be talking about Uncharted. That was a perfect segue.
Yeah.
We're not talking about
they
that.
Just made like a brand new one. Have you played that one? You're the Uncharted fanboy.
Yeah, I rented it. So I go
the one where you're the girl or
the
whatever?
The girl. Oh, the mic.
What's her name?
Level? Yeah. Chloe Fraser.
Yeah.
You are Chloe Fraser, and then you
Nadine also shows up,
with
right?
Nadine.
Yeah, yeah.
Who is the kind of sub baddie for Uncharted 4.
She shows up,
she's
kicks
like
some ass, and
man.
Then leaves.
Well, she was betrayed by...
Who isn't
the
betrayed
villain.
In Uncharted? Except for
right.
Nathan by Sully.
Well, we're not going to talk about that game. Though it might appear later in the year on a top 5. I love it. I think it's another just fantastic Uncharted story. And I think it might be the best Uncharted game yet. In the fact that they keep it to a brisk 8-9 hours and it's done.
Yeah.
I love Uncharted 4. I think it's a masterpiece game. It might be a little too long. It's a 17-hour game for what is supposed to be like a fun, easy-breezy blockbuster, you know?
Also Cover Girl. Easy-breezy.
Easy-breezy. That's right. I was going to say, easy-peasy.
There we
it's
go.
Easy-peasy.
Okay. All
if
right.
you get that reference, Sean, I know you will. That's all I gotta say. Just, you've got that reference.
You got that reference, Sean.
You got that. But no, we are not talking about Uncharted today on our new endeavor here.
Yeah.
On our expedition into the unknown.
We're in, I guess we'll call this Experience Grind Headquarters 4.0.
Jesus, there have been so many places we recorded
yeah.
this.
No,
we
this
keep
be,
getting kicked out.
This would be 5.0, actually. Started at Luke's,
uh-huh.
then Hartman's,
yes.
then your place,
sure.
then my living room.
Oh, that's right.
And now game room.
Yes. Now it's in like the studio, if
yeah.
you will. Yeah.
So I think this is going to be the more permanent setup.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of looking forward to it. We are also a little bit, for now, for the near future, sans sound engineer.
We are. Home Improvement lost its Wilson.
Yeah, we have taken and accepted his full medical leave of absence.
I say we tendered his resignation.
No, because he's not out, but he is.
But
he's
he
taken,
is down?
He's taken some time off for family and for health reasons. I don't know.
All right, the way you're phrasing this.
Yeah, I'm making it way worse.
Wild speculations. Yeah. He's having a baby. He had a baby, and now it's dead.
He's in rehab.
He's in rehab. Oh, shit.
There's so many things. You gotta guess what's going on with Sound Engineer Andrew, everybody.
To quote Amy Winehouse, they're not taking Sound Engineer to rehab.
He
no,
said
no.
No. No, no,
no.
No. No, but, you know, I'm looking forward to this. I like this setup. This is the first yep. real one where we've sat next or in front of each other and
it's
just
weird.
Talked.
I'm staring
yeah.
at your face.
Yeah.
And I just now kind of realize it. And now it's messing with me. It's
I don't like it.
Me.
Please turn to
let's
the side.
I gotta look at the wall again.
Let's just look
object.
At nothing.
Yep.
No, this is good stuff, man. I think I'm excited about it. It's very DIY. I think every other podcast kind of does it this way. We were spoiled for a long time. Maybe we'll get our boy back.
Yeah, I don't think there's really going to be much of a dip in quality, though. I think we'll be able to manage, get the same kind of sound quality out. And
I hope
you know,
so.
If it's a little off. This is the reason why. This is kind of like, I guess, sorry. If this episode does not come out to the audio quality standard that we usually do, it's because we're doing it a whole new way.
Yep.
It's a learning process. So, you know, if there is something wrong, let us know.
Please do. And then we will be sure
or
to tell you to go fuck yourself.
I will not say that.
I sure
might,
will.
I
sure
will.
I will
never ever say that.
I will thank you. I'll be like, oh, good. We'll take that into consideration. Also, go fuck yourself.
Yeah. See, I just,
that's just
I,
what I do.
In general, I prefer the butt stuff. Because that's like,
yeah.
you're spreading the love, right?
You can still go fuck
it's
yourself
nice.
In your butt.
You could.
You could.
If you're taking the go fuck yourself in a not literal way, like, pleasure yourself. Make love with yourself. I'm cool with that.
Sure.
You know? But I don't want to be like, go fuck yourself. I mean, like, so, hey, go fuck yourself. Hey.
Ryan, buddy.
Yes.
What are you talking about? We are talking about a game. It's funny. This was completely not planned.
No.
But our good buddies over at Tadpog seem to have also been on the same wavelength as us this week.
Yeah.
Because what did they talk about?
They also talked about Double Dragon, but not the Double Dragon we're going to talk about. So at least that's something. But no, this was not planned for any synergy reasons. We had no idea.
It just shows you the level of connectedness we all are in this universe.
Yeah.
So, but no, I think the Tadpog boys, I think those gentlemen talked about Double Dragon 2 for the NES.
Yes.
And we are going to be covering... God damn, man. I didn't even have that many shots, bro.
I don't know what to say.
I don't either.
I don't know what to say. It's fine. Who cares? Power through it.
Yeah.
It's because we don't have that sound engineer.
I'm blaming everything on it. That's,
you know what he does? He helps us drink responsibly when he's around.
No, he does not.
So,
no,
I mean...
God. But he is. He is the perfect scapegoat.
He is.
And I love this. No, so we're, for our listeners that for some fucking reason cannot read, we're going to be talking about Double Dragon Neon.
Yes.
Which was a Steam, Xbox One, and PS4 game that came out a couple years ago, I want to say. It's only like 2 years old, maybe three.
Yeah, yeah, 2014 at the latest. It's pretty recent. It's the newest. It's not the newest Double Dragon game anymore.
No, because they did the new one that was in the retro style.
Yeah. They did the Mega Man 9-10 approach Double Dragon 4. Which could work, but I hear not so great things
about it.
Yeah,
I've heard not so great things too, which is weird.
Yeah, which is disappointing because, I mean, spoilers, Double Dragon Neon is kind of amazing.
It's fucking great.
Right?
I think it's because... it knows what it is and what it's paying homage to, which is great. I love a very tongue-in-cheek thing, which this game is just overflowing with it.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And not just, like, video game homages, but, like, they've got, like, we just saw today, like, the Little Shop of Horrors reference. It's, like, weird.
A lot of pop culture references show up. Like, the 80s, in general, are very, very well-loved in this game.
Yeah. I think they're just well-loved in general. Yeah. Now. Just everything seems to love the 80s.
You throw Neon on it, it's an 80s homage.
Yeah.
But there's I want to assume the attack helicopter phase that we're stuck on for a little bit is in tribute to, like, Red Dawn, almost.
Oh, okay. I can see that.
But yeah. Double Dragon Neon, man. I guess before we get into the meat and potatoes of that... Let's throw it back to the Tadpog boys. Did you ever grow up playing any of the other Double Dragons? Are you familiar with them?
Double Dragon 1.
Yeah.
That's it. It was, I think, at the Pizza Hut, because I think every Pizza Hut had every fucking arcade game ever at some point.
For a while, there was a really cool time.
Right?
I remember
Pizza
going
Hut
there.
Pizza Hut was, like, the place to go.
I loved going to it when I was a kid.
Yeah, I don't know how it was here in Indiana, but, like, the arcade scene in Monroe, where I was from, we had one, and it wasn't very good. Bunch of older games, and then, like, the gimmicky games, like, throw balls at a clown, or T-ball and stuff. They didn't
where you
have,
get the
like,
tickets.
Yeah. You might get lucky and get, like, Time Crisis 1 at some point, but that's it. And then the rest is just Frogger and Millipede. Not even Centipede. You don't even get Centipede.
You get
the fucking sequel Millipede, right?
We had a pizza joint called Mr. Gaddy's in my hometown of Bedford.
Fuck yeah.
Fortunately,
I was able to go there before it closed. I loved Mr. Gaddy's.
It was an all right place. They used to get updated pretty frequently. They stopped that after a while, and then it just kind of became the same routine of games. The big one they had there was that Jurassic Park light gun game.
The shooter, yeah.
It was an alright game.
Yeah, I enjoyed that one.
Beat it multiple times, though. Mm-hmm. Used to go there and play Mortal Kombat, I remember, as a kid.
Yeah.
And I'd always get beat by the high school kids until I learned some of the combos. And then
A K. Combos.
Yeah, it was combos with a K. I do remember kind of mopping up there for a while as a 8 and 9 year old. It was pretty cool.
Sadly, I never had this experience
outside
of Dance Dance Revolution. I could fucking,
totally fine. Totally
I could
fine.
Fucking out dance fools on that game. Like, I was really good, sadly.
Forever. I've always been completely dominated in all forms of Street Fighter.
Really?
Yeah.
Really?
I'm not good at Street Fighter, man.
I mean, watch or showdown, I beg to differ.
I beat you. I beat you. That's about it.
I don't know. It felt like you were pretty good when I was getting stomped hard.
Because I know Zangief tricks, and that's it. Yeah. And if you know Zangief tricks, I'm fucking useless, because you can counter it very easily.
Okay. I mean, did you never have, like, an interest in going back and learning another character?
No, I mean, I didn't even like Zangief till recently. When I was a kid,
really?
I liked Blanka and E. Honda.
Yeah.
But I still sucked with them. I would get destroyed by anybody who was competent with Ryu at all. Mm-hmm. So, so you would play Double Dragon at the Pizza Hut, though?
Yeah, I think that was it. Maybe there was one time where I played it for like 30 minutes to an hour at like a friend's house or something on the NES.
On the NES?
But yeah, it was only ever Double Dragon 1. I've never played any of the sequels. And I really didn't have a reason to. I mean, at that point, like, yeah, we had Battletoads, we had other games like that that I enjoyed just a little bit more.
Did you ever play Double Dragons with Battletoads? It's a rarity.
In the early days of ROMs and emulators, okay, I absolutely did. Yeah.
I remember actually renting it and playing it with my cousin. I remember that.
No.
Uh huh.
That was it Super Nintendo exclusive, right?
I think so. Yes.
I don't think, again, I only had Genesis.
It might have been NES. Them. I don't know.
Oh, shit. It could have been.
I don't know.
Yeah.
You know, on the subject of beat 'em ups, what about Final Fight? Are you a fan of Final Fight at all?
Yeah. Final Fight, that's Capcom, because you see Hagar and things pop up a lot. It's iconic. It has its place. I don't really care for the mechanics of it and the fighting. Phenomenal soundtracks. Like, I don't want to despair. Like, I think it's Koji Kondo does the soundtrack.
Okay, sure.
They're all fantastic. It's just like this weird street jazz rock shit infusion. Like, only the 90s could come up with, right?
Yeah.
But it fucking rocks still. Like, it's like the Outrun theme or some of the other Genesis. You know what? Genesis had some of the best music. Like, they just did. Like, Genesis had the better sound processor, and they were able to make some fucking fantastic soundtracks.
Sonic's better than Mario.
Oh my god, Sonic is totally soundtrack.
Now, if we're talking gameplay, Mario all the way.
Oh yeah, it's not even, there's been maybe 1.5 to 2 good Sonic games.
You give me like 4 seconds of a Sonic tune, any Sonic tune, that bitch is in my head.
Mm-hmm.
All
mm-hmm.
of them. Mm-hmm. Great shit.
Michael Jackson worked on them. Like, that's...
He worked on 3.
Funny. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, wait, he did like some of the best. I love Ice Cap Zone theme in that one, in the carnival one.
Yeah.
Oh, God. It's so good. But I could talk about goddamn video game music all day. We're not here to talk about
it's a big,
that.
Well, I think we are. We're going to come back to it
eventually
because let's segue into Double Dragon Neon. Yeah. Double Dragon Neon has a fucking fantastic soundtrack.
It does. It's so good. It's just, it's perfect in the driveway where I don't know, are these real songs from the 80s or not? I don't know. It rides that line where it sounds like it could have been ripped exactly from the 80s, but it sounds also like kind of newer. Like, they're in on the joke. Like, the songs are kind of funny and like over the top ridiculous. Like, surely they were made for this game and not plucked from
the 80s. I think everything
right?
here was made for this game.
But it all fits, and it sounds like it would be up a piece.
Yeah,
right?
It's very, very hair metal-y, very guitar solo-y, like... rock and roll gives you the power. There's a great Patton Oswalt skit, I think it's on Conan, where he talks about he loves old rock music videos because like rock was also infused with magic, and he'd talk about like, I want to turn this rabbit into someone else, a shibbity boo, and he and it's true, and that's
I think it's like Twisted Sister, I Want to Rock, where they play guitar and just like turn that kid from nerd to like
cool guy.
Gad,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what guitars do.
This whole game has that air of 80s music video magic to it, and it's fucking awesome.
Mm-hmm,
mm-hmm. I don't know when this game was made. I think it was like 3 years ago at the most that it came out. But
yeah, pretty recent.
It was just, I don't know, everything about it is fucking fantastic. We have had some complaints. We've tried to stream it twice, and we've gotten locked and frozen out completely.
I will blame the Steam version for that, because I did play through this on the 360, I think, originally. I had no issues at all.
I will throw my computer under the bus. I could say it's my computer, but I will also say it's the only game I've ever had that freezes on me. And like,
I don't think it's your computer.
I don't think
it's the Steam ports, the PC ports.
Because I've played, you know, I can play fucking GTA 5 at max settings with like 100 cars exploding, and I barely lose a frame rate. Like, I've got a pretty solid rig. I don't know why Double Dragon chokes up, but it does.
Well, it is, you know, it's not a big title from a big company. Like, it was an indie game. Like, it is from a small developer, so they probably had certain time and resources that they had to focus on, and again, the PC versions usually don't get the love and care.
That is true. Typically. Yes.
Sometimes it's vice versa, but it's typically...
It's a very rare thing. Yeah. Video gaming, while it is transforming to a PC market, PCs generally are the redhead stepchild still. And I kind of get it because everybody's PC is different, whereas every PS4 and every Xbox One is the same.
Shit. Not anymore. Not anymore with these half cycles.
You got
third
the PS4 Pro.
Cycles.
Dude, you have three cycles of the Xbox One now.
This is fucking absurd. I don't know how anybody could get excited about the Xbox One X.
I don't know either.
It's literally like, just like going from iPhone 5 to like an iPhone 5S.
Yeah.
It means nothing. Yeah. Like, congratulations, you're getting just like a slight tweak. Like, you're getting that one little shader difference on a PC.
Yeah.
You went from Max to Ultra Max. Okay. Oh my god. That's incredible.
I don't get it either.
If it was the 360, it'd be okay, because those came out and those initial launches were horribly buggy. But
the
like,
white ones?
Yeah. They red ring so fast. Xbox One so far, it's been a very reliable system. Like, no issues.
I barely used my 1S.
Yeah, I mean, that's understandable. I have, and this is the thing, because you've always been the PS man. I have all my friends and everything, they're on Xbox still. They've not made the jump to PS4, so a lot of multiplayer games, I still go back there.
For the most part, I was a 360 guy, but...
Really?
Yeah.
Over PS3? That surprises me.
Because it was the better design system. I'm not so much of a fanboy to admit that the PS3 had a lot of hardware.
Yeah.
I mean, look at Bayonetta on the Xbox and the PS3. Just, God, it was a fucking...
Third parties just didn't know how to use that PS3 infrastructure.
Which,
but like when Sony did it, like those games were
fucking amazing.
Yeah.
But like they totally flipped the switch on the PS4 and they wanted to make it super developer friendly. And
PS4 is taking off. I think that's because of Xbox's muddled. We're going to be your media center, and you can plug in a PlayStation into that Xbox.
They totally just canceled Kinect. Kinect is a thing of the past now.
It should not have been bundled in. That was the big mistake, too. Don't force people to
almost immediately after they did that launch bundle with the Kinect, they started being like, all right, here's one $100 cheaper without Kinect. And people were like, okay, now I'll maybe get one.
But I think that was enough. That was enough bad publicity at the start.
It's crazy how far behind Microsoft is at this point. Because the motherfucking Switch is... the Switch is the game of this year, or the system of this year.
I don't know about that. I think PlayStation 4 might be up there.
You don't have one yet, and I think Switch is coming. It's come in this year. It's dominated this year. It released two gigantic blockbuster 10 rated games, which...
Alright, we'll get into that later,
sure.
I think those 10 rated games are for nostalgia. Like, I hold my breath on Super Mario Odyssey. I am prepared to be blown away by it.
One of them I agree
Breath
with,
of
but
the Wild.
A lot of people disagree with me on. I'm not so much into Breath of the Wild either.
I've played a few hours of Breath of the Wild at this point. Like, I've tested it. It's inferior in every way to, like, The Witcher or, like, Horizon Zero Dawn that came out at the same time. Same kind of mechanics with a crossbow, with different skills. You have to craft items. It's all about exploration.
I think that's where...
It's inferior, but, you know, Horizon's not going to get 10s because...
It's not Zelda.
Nostalgia is not attached.
I think Breath of the Wild, with all of that extra shit, I think that actually pulls it down.
Yeah. Because
I don't fucking care about that in a Zelda. I want to explore and rely on these certain things.
Really? As a not Zelda fan, I'll say, like, I would just love a Zelda where you could go, like, do a dungeon, go to another dungeon, go to another dungeon, go make it a little bit more linear. I don't want a big, empty, open world to fuck around with. Like, I do just want kind of, like, give me the story beats, give me the dungeon puzzles, that's it. Like, I don't need to be crafting stuff, I don't want to be cooking, I don't need to do these open world. Like, sure, it's inventive and new for a Zelda game, but we've done this in so many other fucking games. And, like, it didn't do, in my opinion, and I'm sure I'm going to get roasted for this, but...
Ah, fuck them if you get roasted.
In my opinion, I don't think it did anything really different from the formula that's already been out enough to, like, warrant the 10 out of 10.
I get and I respect a lot of the things that it does do. It is a massive world with no load times. You can go anywhere. You're not going to encounter that. But that's also a thing that The Witcher does.
Horizon Zero Dawn does it.
Horizon Again, Zero Dawn.
So close. So closely tied. Because they were released right at the same time.
Yeah.
And one completely... You know what else I think it is? I think it's because people bought the Switch.
Oh,
and the only
sure.
game they have is Zelda.
I thought
so
you're
gonna... going to talk yourself up, and you're going to really extrapolate like how great this game is to justify that you have no other fucking games coming until October.
I thought you were just going to focus on the fact that one is a female lead, one's a male lead, and male lead games are always superior.
Oh, no. No.
Because
we all know that's not true. I mean, look at Tomb Raider Uncharted. Which one's the better one? Oh, shit. That proved my... That goes against Uncharted's the better one. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. And, sure.
That's so disparaging because I do really like the new Tomb Raiders a lot.
I like them a lot. Here, I'll even it out. I like both the new Tomb Raiders better than Uncharted's, especially Rise.
I disagree with you,
and that's
but
fine.
I respect it, and
yeah.
I'm okay with that. I'll say this, fine. Well, I'd like on this train of thought, I think the two new Tomb Raider games are better than the new Zelda game, and it's again the same kind of mechanic.
To a degree, yeah.
I much prefer that, and maybe I think it's nostalgia.
So speaking of nostalgia,
yes,
let's talk about Double Dragon Neon.
Yeah,
which we're supposed to talk about at some point.
Fuck it, nobody cares about Double Dragon Neon.
You really should play this game. I'm sure it's cheap as hell now, as old as it is.
I think when I picked it up a few years ago, it was like $2 in an Xbox sale. So you can find it real cheap very frequently.
I would recommend you get at least two copies and give a copy to a buddy if you haven't played it. Sean and Mitch, you guys should play this game. You will fucking love it. It's what I love about Double Dragon Neon is it doesn't fuck around. It's a very, very short game, which is a rarity. Mm-hmm. Everybody's trying to squeeze your time out of you.
Yeah.
And this is coming from a guy that plays a shitload of Destiny. I totally get it.
Hurts.
We
just talked about Zelda, Breath of the Wild.
Yeah, Breath of the Wild does a lot of the same things. It pads time. Double Dragon Neon does not. It's going to get you right in there. Mm-hmm. It's going to give you this concise shit. What's going to happen? Your girlfriend's going to get kidnapped. What are you going to do? Well, you're going to fight through tons of people and rescue her. That's it.
There might be a Skeletor-looking motherfucker up in there.
Man, that dude's awesome. I need to look that up, and I should have for
the
show.
Voice actor
I think it is the voice actor for Skeletor from He-Man. I'm going to assume it is.
Why would you not? If you're going to make a skeleton boss, why would you not just hire that guy? What
else
does he? If he's alive, why not hire that guy back?
Yeah.
Like, it's the perfect throwback, and it's so
to the
80s. Part. It's perfect.
Keep vamping. I'm going to look it up. We're going to confirm this right now.
Yep. All right, so I'm vamping. But, man, this game is just fantastic. We're talking about, like, the Skeletor. That's, like, just one of the references. There's so many more all over the place. We kind of talked about, like, one of the bosses being a throwback to the Little Shop of Horrors. I think it's called, like, Audrey 2's the plant from Little Shop of Horrors. And this one's called, like, Janice 2 or something. And
yeah, I think it's Janice 2.
Right? And you break off its hands, and, like, one's a shark, and one's a T-Rex head. And it's just this absurd shit that's just all over the place. And right there, like, what do you think of? Jaws and Jurassic Park. And I think when you beat it, there's even an achievement that references Jurassic Park. Because, of course, why not? You can do anything you want. And this game is, like, the perfect example of, well, fuck it, why not? Like, I think that was their design standard going into it. Fuck it, why not? Why not have a giant plant and you break it away and then, like, one of its arms is a shark and one's a T-Rex head? because you fucking can. And it's just fun, like, going into every level and getting a new surprise like this, like, every time. Like, I think every single level in this game, there's like, a new little nugget that's just gonna make you fall in love with it just a little bit more. It's, man, I just cannot praise this game enough.
It's really, really, really fucking fun, especially, you really need to play it with somebody, though. That makes a world of difference.
It does. If you don't have somebody, I still recommend you play it. Because the first time I played it was by myself, and it was still great fun. One of the bosses, god damn it, this is when the game won me over completely. 10 out of 10, I say. 10
you,
out of 10.
You said 10 out of 10 so many times in this playthrough. It's
game.
Great, yeah.
But the one that won me over was, I think, in the second or third world, you fight a boss that is essentially Mega Man. He comes in.
Let me clarify. Not even that. Not only is he that, but he's the box art for the first Mega Man,
yes.
Where he didn't have a blaster arm. He was holding a gun. It's so fucking good. And that's very 80s-esque. It's fucking perfect. There's so many little nice little Easter eggs if you're familiar. It's like almost like Ready Player One in video game form.
But more cohesive and not just like, hey, look at this nerd shit.
Hey, thank you, because I get so much shit because I don't fucking fawn over Ready Player One.
Well, Kyle, you and I disagree often on books.
Yeah.
But, no, Ready Player One, I think it gets more interesting in the narrative a little bit later on when you get into the drama of everything.
Yeah.
But it is so fucking hard to get into for those first few chapters where he is literally just like, alien from Spring Breakers, like, look at my nerd knowledge over here.
Yeah.
Look at this fucking game I know about. Look at this.
So,
look at that.
So, Ryan, if you were good to use one word to describe Ready Player One, what would you use?
I know you want me to say pretentious.
Yeah, because that's what I'm going to use, motherfucker.
See, I don't think it's pretentious.
It's a bit.
But it is,
now again,
navel-gazing. It is indulgent.
It's shoe-gazing.
This guy needs an editor, like, real bad. Because I think half that book could be trimmed out. Like, it could be so much shorter and more concise.
On that note, I'm fucking pumped that Spielberg is directing Ready Player One, and holy shit, I can't wait to see that. Because Spielberg's
so
going to cut out all the shit that doesn't matter and just make
it
fucking
so
awesome.
Yeah. They used Tom Sawyer in the trailer,
they
so
used
I'm
Tom
down.
Sawyer.
I'm down.
They got all the fucking rights to all the characters and bullshit. There's fucking the DeLorean. There's Warcraft characters. There's Doom Guy. There's all. They're fucking Freddy Krueger, I think, is in the trailer.
Yeah.
So much shit.
Fuck yeah, he is.
That is. They're like, everybody's like, yeah, let's do it. Spielberg wants it. Fucking A, let's throw it in. It's great.
Well, at this point, if you are these brands, why the fuck would you not do this? Like, yes, absolutely. This movie that's going to be watched by millions and millions of people. It's
and also
free advertising.
Steven Spielberg is directing it? Sure.
Yeah,
let's
you know
do
it's
it.
Going to be quality, and you know it's going to get people there. It's free advertising. It's like why Pac-Man showed up in Guardians
it's
of the
free
Galaxy.
Real estate.
It is.
So, are you ready to be blown away more? So, I've looked this up.
Yes.
The dude
it's
that
Nolan
did,
North.
It's not.
Okay.
He only did one fucking voice character, and it was this dude, Skolmageddon. You know what his other credit is, though? He was the director of Shovel Knight, which is another fucking homage to 2-bit platforming shit.
All right. Here's a big shame secret. I have yet to play Shovel Knight.
That's fine.
I really want to.
You really should.
I'm picking up the Switch tomorrow. Here, I'm just going to say on the podcast, so like it cements my fate and I do it. I don't know if I want to wait till Black Friday. I'm picking up the Switch tomorrow, goddamn, after work. I want Shovel Knight on the Switch so I can take it with me and play it.
I almost bought fucking Binding of Isaac on Switch today.
I saw it the Afterbirth Plus.
For the third time. Because
I was thinking about that too.
That was one of the best games I played during our fucking charity stream. I loved just going back and forth on Isaac.
Yeah, and that's another game we could talk about too.
Well, I think we're definitely going to stream it again, and we're going to do an episode on Isaac because Isaac fucking warrants it and it deserves it, and I love Binding of Isaac. Mm-hmm. What's crazy is that this Double Dragon Neon show has just been a bunch of shit about everything but Double Dragon Neon.
I'm okay with that.
I am too.
Here's the thing.
Because, again, it is short. It's very fucking, like...
It's very concise. There's not really, you know, narrative elements to talk about or spoil. It's two fucking twin brothers beating up people to win their girlfriend back, and then you fight each other over
at the end.
And you give some awesome high fives, and you fight a skeleton boss. and it's absurd shit. You go into a house, it turns into a rocket ship at some point.
Not only that, it's like a Japanese, like, fucking pagoda.
I love it. That's also another easy way to get me in your corner. Asian theme. Just give it, like, a slight Asian theme, and I'm fucking
that's
right.
That's why you love Vice Principals.
Yeah, I really identify with Walton Goggins in that one. Yeah.
God damn it, I love fucking Walton Goggins in that show.
God, he's the best. Like, all right, Danny McBride's perfect and everything, but Walton Goggins is on a fucking another level.
You can't touch that dude.
So good.
So in Double Dragon Neon, though, so let's kind of, in a way, break it.
Sure.
It doesn't differentiate from the Double Dragon formula much.
No.
You walk to the right, you beat the fuck out of people, you can pick up weapons, and then beat the fuck out of them with those weapons. Occasionally there are area attacks that you can knock them into, or you can fall susceptible to.
So like arrows raining from the background.
Or like smasher claws. Yeah,
the typical platform smashers.
Yes.
You know.
But where this differentiates is that there are 10 different stances and 10 different special moves that you can collect.
I was wondering if you're going to pronounce that S word. That's like,
I have no idea. I don't even remember it.
They give it like some Japanese name.
Sekuetsu.
It's something like that, yeah.
Sekuetsu! You must power up, Billy and Jemma.
Sekuetsu! Man. Abort. I'm out. We just crossed the line.
Hey, at least I still said the L's is L's and not R's. I could have called
true.
Him.
You could have gone
Billy.
Real Kim Jong Il and Team America on it.
Or also fucking what's his face in Breakfast at Tiffany's.
Oh shit, Mickey Rooney.
Yes.
Right. Oh, that's the worst
that
one.
Oh man.
They gave him the buck. I don't know. It's that or Sean Connery in You Only Live Twice, where they give him plastic surgery to blend in with the Asians, and they just put brown on his face.
Say
and
what?
They literally put tape pieces in the corner of his eyes to make him watch.
Say what you will about fucking John Wayne playing Genghis Khan.
Yeah.
At least he just played it as fucking John Wayne.
He did.
He
did
wasn't like,
ridiculous.
Oh, John Wayne! No, he's
fucking... the worst. Mickey Rooney in Breakfast
is
Club
way
is
worse than John
so
Wayne as fucking Genghis Khan.
It's
way
so
worse.
Yeah.
So fucking bad.
Well, and here's the thing is Genghis Khan fucking cares about that movie. That's a turd of a movie.
It's Breakfast, awful.
Breakfast at Tiffany's
Although,
is a fantastic movie with a what the fuck is this choice in
so,
it.
There's rumors that Genghis Khan was the death note of John Wayne, though.
Yeah,
because they because they shot a lot of that in the Nevada and New Mexico deserts where they did a lot of the nuclear testing, and there was all this fucking radiation fallout, and he died of cancer. So that movie was kind of the that's where he got exposed to all that bullshit.
Here's the thing. I read a film book on like great fiascos in Hollywood, and Genghis Khan was in it.
Okay.
I think it was a passion project of his. So he did it. I think he was like, he really wanted, the studio was like, we don't know, why don't you just stick to, you know, shooting bad guys?
Why don't
horses?
You be a cowboy?
But this is what he really wanted to do, I think. And
man, John Wayne, you fucked up, bro.
Yeah, well, I don't know. Again, another contentious point for the night. I don't really get John Wayne's appeal.
I don't either. I like Clint Eastwood as a cowboy much better.
Yeah.
And this is as a guy who fucking loves Westerns. I love Westerns. I don't care about John Wayne. I love a good Western, man.
I like when Westerns
Shane?
Are torn apart, like Westworld, and they deconstruct it. But I don't like straight
Shane,
Westerns.
Shane, Lonesome Dove, those are fucking fantastic movies, dude. 310 to Yuma? You ever seen 310 to Yuma?
I saw the Russell Crowe, Christian Bale remake.
Yeah, that's a fucking great movie,
I
dude.
I like that one.
It's
I didn't
a great movie.
Yeah.
And it's
I
got
like,
a...
True Grit, the remake,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, True Grit.
Bridges.
Both True Grits are great, and that's a John Wayne. That's one of the few John Waynes I actually do like.
I think it's a little cheesy.
It's okay.
It's you know, in the young household, and the young is my wife, her family's household.
Sure.
Her parents. John Wayne is a religion. You don't talk bad.
It's the same way with Mandy's dad.
Okay.
It's okay.
Yeah, so I had to like watch a few of these movies, right? And we went through True Grit, and everybody's just like, don't you just love, and that snake scene, isn't that the best? And that horse through, and I'm just like, yeah, it was all fine.
It's okay,
It's fine. It's not bad. But
I like them both,
fine.
But I like the Coen's version better.
God, so much more.
So,
yeah.
But again, I just don't get... John Wayne's not my cowboy. Give me Clint. Give me Two Mules for Sister Sarah.
Give me Idris Elba in Dark Tower.
God damn it. Get out. Get out.
All right, bye.
Have you seen Dark Tower?
Fun. No, I'm not going to see it.
Yeah, I'm not either. I haven't either.
I'm not even the biggest Stephen King fan. Like, I he's hit and miss.
This is where me and your wife are like this.
Yeah, you guys are real into Stephen King. I think he, you know, he does characters really well.
He does stories really well. Here's where he fucking sucks. Ooh. It's endings. Dude cannot write an ending to save his life, and that's fire. That's fine. I can't even write a fucking character outside of you. I did create you in a laboratory.
It's true.
A la Westworld, you are a complete replicant.
Most people don't know that. You can just tell them, like, it's a voice you do. And anytime I popped up, it was an actor you paid. I'm like a puppet.
Speaking of, how about that Ryan puppet voice I did? Did you like
that? I thought that was really accurate, Kyle. I don't sound like that at all. How dare you, you son of a bitch. That's not me. That's not my character. I am offended.
That's going to Mickey.
It does go very close to Mickey. Yeah, it really does.
Copyright. Wow, pulled.
But like Double Dragon Neon. Fuck, man. We need to really focus on this for just a bit. So they mix it up a little bit. There are 10 different stances, which are like... So I think eventually I started focusing on the one where if you're under 50% health... you get increased attack damage.
I think desperation.
Yes. And you focused on the completely
training wheels.
Balanced. They do call it training wheels.
I went with training wheels. Yeah, because...
where it kind of buffs everything.
So I just boosted up my health as much as I
could. It can be very brutal. It's very unforgiving. We thought, but it actually turns out that at the end of each level, you get your 2 lives back. Which is very nice because we started to stress out because it does get harder.
Mm-hmm. It starts off at a nice, easy pace. It kind of gently revs it up. And then about like level 4 or 5, I think it is once you get to that upside down helicopter shit that you're like, this is going on forever. This is getting rough now. I think it is. That's when it picks up. And then it doesn't let off the difficulty. But we were getting panicked because at the end of some of those levels, we were down to 1 or 0 lives, and it's like, we're not going to make it. We've got like 4 more levels to go, and we got 0 lives. We're not going to make it. But then you start again, you got 2 and 3 lives.
Starting brand new with 2.
That's perfect.
Yeah. And we played on normal because I don't think I had any of the other difficulties unlocked, and that's fine. This game is great for couch co-op. Mm-hmm. We were both playing it right here on the stream together on my computer. No difficulties. I have played through this entire game with my buddy who doesn't live here, Casey, who was on the stream. Sure. We played through the whole thing, not together, and still we had a blast. Again, the shortness of this game, I think it's like 2 hours at most.
It is.
Maybe.
Yeah, I mean, if you're restarting levels, maybe it's going to push 3.
Yeah.
But at most, you're looking at 3 hours here.
Yeah.
And that's fine. Like you said, it's a short game, but it's focus. It is.
Yes.
It knows exactly what to do, when to do, how long. It's perfectly paced. You don't get tired of anything. The levels are so different. Like, everything just moves along so well and it flows. And that's okay. Like, I'll take a 3-hour perfected experience over, like, 50 hours. I think this is the difference between kids and adults, too. Like, I think a kid, like, Kid Ryan is all about, like, oh man, these Final Fantasy games, you can play for 80, 90 hours for only $40. I'm down for that, as opposed to getting a $40 game. Like the Die Hard trilogy that I bought, where I play for like 20 minutes and I hate it. And now that's 20 minutes of fun I had for $40 when I could get that big ol' RPG. Now as an adult, I'm like, give me Inside. Give me like Limbo. Give me these short stories that are perfect and simple and quick. Give me Journey. 3 hours. Give me Double Dragon Neon that's 2 hours and knows what it's doing perfectly.
It's really funny because I am almost the exact opposite.
Fuck, what?
As a kid, I was like, I did a lot of things and I like to do a lot of things. And I was one of the type, like, when I sat down, like, I didn't understand save points. I was like, I want to beat a game.
Yeah.
I'm playing it. I want to get to the ending of it. Like Super Mario Brothers and You know, so you're using warp whistles and things of that nature. You're getting to it. You're going to beat it. You're committed to it. You're sitting down. You're going to fucking do this thing. Whereas now I'm like, you know, I understand the nature of gaming, and I like the investment, not only of money, but of time. Again, big Destiny guy. Fucking love Destiny. I've played a few MMOs. I was never a WoW guy. I've played Final Fantasy 14, though. I really like that. That's a big time sink, you know. I understand it.
Sure.
But I still see these games as a breath of fresh air. Because we can sit down and blast through them.
Yeah.
Same thing with, like, Metal Slug, which we'll talk about at some point, too. It's like, yeah, it's not taxing, but it's an experience that you're going to work through in a couple hours and be done with. I could have watched a shitty movie. I'm going to play Metal Slug. Or I'm going to play Double Dragon Neon, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It's different levels of what you want, and this totally plays into, like, here's a small slice of some fun action. It's really dumb. It's really fun. Take it for what it is.
Yeah.
So
I think it's interesting that you brought up the movie, because I would say, like, that's why I kind of enjoy these shorter games now. It's because I think as an adult, like, I have a much more infinite capability of, like, reading and just dealing with the tedious shit in games.
Sure.
Like, I enjoy that more now, and I appreciate it.
But as a kid.
Time for
sure.
It. That's the issue.
But as a kid, you didn't want it. Yeah. You're like, fuck this. Like,
I think as a kid, I would have loved Dark Souls and the shit, where I can just, like, go over and over and over and perfect it. Like, that's why I like Mega Man. Because you have that time to just sit there and fuck around with a level and learn it. Like, I could do that.
See, as a kid, I hated Mega Man, though, for that reason. It's weird.
I don't understand that.
Yeah. Because, again, I was like, oh, this is too hard. Why do I not get this? Why am I not doing this? For like a Mario. It's like, so Mario, you die a couple times.
But, like, most games are pretty hard back then. Did you just hate gaming as a kid? Because it was all kind of rough.
I don't really know. Because, like, I loved Top Gun as a kid, which is it's super hard.
The NES one?
Yeah. Yeah.
It's super fucking hard.
I know.
I think you are... All right, welcome to Experience Grinding, the only podcast where one of us loved a Top Gun for NES.
Yeah, I loved it.
Well, anybody else has.
My dad also had, like, he bought me the joystick and everything. Yeah, it was fucking tight.
Did it work well with that?
Yeah.
Okay.
You could fly and it had, like, the missile button and the trigger on the... Oh, it's so fucking tight.
Yeah.
It was really awesome. I remember that. Sonic, I remember working through Sonic tons and Jurassic Park you could beat in a sit-down.
Beat Sonic 2.
I beat Sonic 2 a lot as a kid.
I always got to the stage where you're right outside the ship.
Yeah. The Flying Fortress.
I think you have to fight one of the two henchmen.
You fight Metal Sonic. And Sonic 2, it's Metal Sonic before you get to Eggman.
You fight from the cartoon. You remember there were two robots that helped Robotnik. One was like a big chicken thing with long legs, I think red color. And then one was like a green little trash can with drill arms.
I don't remember that. Don't remember that at all.
I for sure thought maybe it might even be. I thought you had to fight one of those, or they're in the background.
The only thing I only remember Metal Sonic from. Actually, Metal Sonic doesn't even show up till the Death Egg, which is the fucking Death Star.
Is Death Egg in 2?
Yeah,
is it
it's
in
2.
Is it 2? Mm-hmm. Okay.
Shows up in 2.
It's after Flying Fortress. Flying Fortress is where I die every single time.
That's the one where you fly in on Tails' biplane and jump off.
That's right, yeah.
And then you get to Death Egg, and then at the end of Death Egg, it's Metal Sonic, and then finally the final Robotnik. Because for all of Sonic, it's different Robotnik machines.
Yeah.
Until the end, and then you fight a Metal Sonic.
That's right. I don't know why the fuck I thought those two were in it. Maybe they're just in the background at some point. You don't fight them.
Maybe. I don't know. I don't remember them, honestly. And I've played a lot of Sonic, so.
Maybe they're just in the cartoon. And I have no idea what the fuck I am talking about. I think that is an equal possibility here. But that's what this game does. And it's all about nostalgia. And, like, it gets you into, like, that feeling of your childhood. Like, playing this game, starting off the stream, playing this game today, right before we record this episode, like, I felt like I was on the couch again, 10.
Yeah,
really
dude.
Really just playing through an 80s game.
Sure.
And it was great. It's great fun. But, unlike the Mega Man 9 and 10 and Double Dragon 4, I think they bring a lot of modern stuff into it very well. Like you're saying, like the stances and how you can switch off, so If you're dying quite a bit, then you do switch to the training wheels. If you feel like you're getting it, then you can kind of switch it around to the double damage stance that, like, increases your damage every hit. Like,
and you kind of play that glass cannon style shit.
Yeah.
Another thing that this game does that, you know, a lot of the modern remakes, like the Mega Man 9 and 10, and I haven't played Double Dragon 4, but so I don't know, but this game also has the revive mechanic.
Yeah.
Which is another great 80s touch. So if you die, in order for me to come and revive you, I have to smash the B button, which is sticking a pencil into a cassette tape and rewinding the loose tape, which I'm a bit older than you. I do vividly remember doing this many times when you get loose tape.
Yeah, no, you're talking to the kid who had the Elton John Lion King soundtrack on cassette, of course.
High five. Did you ever have a Talk Boy as a kid?
You know, I didn't.
I did.
But my friends did. It was it was like it was around in my time still. I just we didn't afford one of those.
I totally had one.
Did you?
Oh, yeah.
Did you talk into all the time?
Oh, yeah. And speed it up and slow it down.
The birth of experience grind. Like, you was like a five-year-old talking and...
taking it to school and taking it to, like, the after-school shit. Man, I had a Talk Boy and I love that fucking thing.
Man.
It was so cool. I had so much fun with it. Because you could record at double speed and do chipmunk sounds and record at half speed and do, like, a super deep... Oh, it's fucking... God damn, the Talk Boy was
like,
awesome.
I got it so vividly now. I had like the telescoping
mouthpiece.
Yeah.
Sure did.
And a lot of people, what you do is put it to the radio and then tape the radio when your song comes on so you can play it whenever you want.
Sure did.
Fucking old people shit.
God
None of these kids today understand.
Fuck you, kids.
You
Go fuck yourselves.
Fingertips,
you assholes.
Go fuck yourself. Yeah, idiot.
I guess let's wrap up this Double Dragon because I don't know what else we're gonna fucking say, other than Ryan, would you recommend Double Dragon?
Absolutely, absolutely. Do we need to give it a rating scale?
I'm trying to think of one off the top of my head. Off
there are so many things you can go to real quick.
Okay, on a scale of 1 to 5. Karate outfits with the sleeves cut off. Five being the best.
All right.
What would you rate Double Dragon Neon?
I would rate it 6.
Wow. Oh, damn.
Jesus Christ. I think it is a perfect game.
Yeah.
I fucking love it from start to finish. It does get harder, but I don't think the difficulty is unfair at all. Just perfect. If you like beat-em-ups, if you don't like beat-em-ups, I think you're going to enjoy this game.
I do too.
Yeah. If you don't, you don't have a soul. Kyle, out of 5 cut-off sleeve karate, are they best?
I believe you call it gi.
Oh my god, it sounds so douchey.
Yeah.
I'm not going to call it that.
Okay. By the way, I have a gi in my closet.
No, you don't.
But my gi is more rugged. It's for jiu-jitsu.
I did
take jiu-jitsu and MMA for quite a long time.
As an adult or kid?
As an adult.
That makes
sure
sense.
Sure did. Sure did.
That makes
I know how to fight, man. I can kick some ass if I need to.
I just imagine Danny McBride in the foot.
It's not that. It's not that nerdy. I swear. It sounds nerdy as fuck. Not that bad. Promise.
All right. So out of 5 rugged fucking jiu-jitsu,
cut off karate geese.
How many do you give it?
I'm gonna give it 4, but here's the caveat: 4. That all have black belts. Because it's still pretty fucking great.
Oh, wow, okay.
But I'm not going to call it perfect. Because there are some things that are kind of nitpicky for me.
I think you should cover those nitpicks real quick.
Yeah.
Because I don't know if we did really nitpick this game.
And so, I mean, it is fast, but there's a lot of... And I guess that's true to a lot of these 2D beat-em-ups that are like on a 1.5 isometric view. There can be times when your hits aren't registering and you don't... It can be a little bit difficult.
Absolutely true. Or trying to revive somebody and you're not perfectly on their level.
Sure.
Yep.
And they try to, like, kind of give you, like, shadows play a part, but even still, like, it's very confusing. And a lot of times there's a lot of shit happening on screen.
Yeah.
Especially towards the later levels. And it gets a little hard to distinguish. So I'm not going to give it a perfect, but it is a fucking fantastic ride for 2 hours. You sit down, you fucking bang it out for whatever price you pay. I can't imagine this game being over $15 at this point.
Oh, no. Yeah, I'd be surprised if it was over 10.
Yes. Yeah, I would, too. But Double Dragon Neon absolutely deserves a play, deserves your money. It's a fantastic little ride. Mm-hmm. Get it. Have some fun with your kid. You can play it with your kids. You got kids. Get on your PS4. Mm-hmm. What's great about it is if you do play it with your kids, it's very fucking easy for them.
Yeah.
I mean, they're not going to get discouraged. They're going to know what to do, and you can kind of carry them. So.
Absolutely.
It's a great family game. Great game all around. Fucking Agreed. Love this game.
And again, 2 hours.
Yeah.
You think about going to see Happy Death Day or something. Don't. That's fucking stupid. You're wasting your money. Play this game. Going to be better than the movie experience.
You're going to pay 100 bucks plus tickets for the Wiggles, and you're going to fucking play Double Dragon Neon for 2 hours for like 10 bucks.
If you're paying $100 for the Wiggles tickets, you got issues more than that.
Well, you got kids and a wife, I'm sure.
I said issues, didn't I?
Yeah.
I
oh, you did.
Issues.
Oh,
I said issues.
He said issues.
I said issues.
man, that was fucking great. I fucking love this game. I love.
Absolutely. 10 out of 10.
It is. It is 10 out of 10. Like, we said that a lot.
5 out of 5.
Yeah, or 4 out of 5, 4.5 yeah. out of 5. But,
I will say I guess, an addendum to your 4 out of 5, because I agree completely with your nitpicks. But what's a better beat 'em up? I think this might be the best example of
sure.
a beat 'em up.
Yeah. It is. It's a fucking great beat 'em up.
So it probably is a 4 out of 5. Like, I'm with you. Like, yeah. It does get a little bullshitty and overwhelming at times. But I do think this is, like, maybe the best beat 'em up out there.
And you get past that shit. Even with, yeah. like, it's not a big detriment. So I'd say it's more like a 4.5. It's almost fucking great.
Yeah.
It's some little bullshit. And you probably won't even notice the little bullshit.
Yeah, yeah. You're just going to be fucking blasted away by all the references and the...
And the guitar
totally
solos.
Rad.
You can give each other high fives whenever you want and split health.
Yeah.
It's fucking great,
it's
man.
It's great.
Play Double Dragon Neon fucking now.
You can punch a gravestone and your character goes, "Sweet! Desecration!"
Because he's desecrating the dead
10
body.
10 out of 10!
It's fucking great. It's pretty fucking awesome.
It's great. Play this game.
Yeah. Please do.
Guys, it's great.
Yeah, it's really good. It's worth your time. And we're not even getting paid by I don't even know who fucking makes this game, so.
I don't know if I do either. I probably should have looked it up.
Yeah, we probably should have, but
maybe
fuck
they made other good games. I don't know.
Maybe. Actually, we'll check it out, and we'll let you know later on if we play other ones.
Oh, absolutely.
But, Ryan, a few of the places these people can reach us.
Yeah, absolutely. Probably the most active places you can go to are facebook.com/experiencegrind. Kyle and I both update that pretty frequently and try
yep.
to engage with the community there. That's your best place. Second best place probably be Twitter or Instagram. You can find us at Twitter at
EXP Grind podcast. Yep.
And what's Instagram? Is Instagram a little different?
I think the Instagram is the same as the Facebook. I don't know. I haven't been. Man, Instagram's kind of died off for me, to be honest.
I was going to say, yeah, if you're not on Instagram, that's okay, because I think it goes through the same feed for
sure.
all of them, too. So.
And we do have a website, experiencegrind.com. We've got the email.
We have all of our archived episodes, because I know iTunes only keeps it for like 50 or 100.
I think I've upgraded to 100, and I think I need to upgrade it to 200 now. I think I can keep it going.
We'll be... Well, past that 100 very soon.
We will.
So,
we're actually coming up on that anniversary episode.
Just in case.
We've got some things planned.
All of our episodes are on experiencegrind.com, so find
yep.
them there.
And, you can always email us at expgrind or experiencegrindpodcast@gmail.com.
Yeah.
Any questions, any remarks, either way, we'll probably tell you to go fuck yourself, but we might listen.
Yeah.
and last but not least.
I am the safe place.
Is
Experience Grind. You can come to me.
Our Twitch channel. Please check us out on Twitch. It's www.twitch.tv/experiencegrind. Pretty big thing. We just hit affiliate status today.
Perfect.
Pretty proud of that. So you can subscribe to us. If you have Amazon Prime, you get a fucking free subscription. So if you subscribe to us on Twitch with your Amazon Prime, it doesn't cost you anything, and we get $5. That is the definition of a win-win scenario.
Yeah, it's you like Patreon, except you don't even have to give us your money.
Speaking of Patreon...
But if you want to give us your money, we are at Patreon, too. I think it's patreon.com/experiencegrind. If not, just go to Patreon and then search for Experience Grind.
Yeah.
We're the only ones on there. So So, you know, donate. We do some fun things there. We do
bonus
our
rounds.
Road trip episodes, our bonus rounds. We
celebrity
do,
interviews.
Celebrity interviews. We do our drunk cast. We do a lot of stuff. And I don't know. We're always looking for more. So there might be more stuff coming. Who knows?
We got some things planned. But at the end of the day, we do this primarily for Ryan and myself because we just like talking anyways.
Yeah.
But you guys get the benefit of it, and we kind of do it for you too. So you're welcome. And we'll take your thank yous and any of the social medias we have previously listed. So, again, I am Kyle.
I am Ryan.
And we have been the Experience Grind Podcast. Thank you, guys. Good night.